the Girlfriends with Christine, Marie, and Julie.
And hello, Julie.
Hello, Mama. I just want to say hi to everybody out there. And Merry Christmas to all.
And Happy New Year. Yeah, mostly it's going to be a Happy New Year.
Because it was a good Christmas, right?
It was. It was really kind of a nice Christmas.
It very much was. And it was fun. And it was enjoyable. And we've been looking forward to being over for a while and starting a new year.
We debuted our Christmas movie.
Yes.
This would be Christmas movie number 3.
Trace. Kids are getting older. Yeah. People are getting older.
Yeah, kids are getting older. Not as enjoyable for them, I don't think.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I mean, like, they go through ebbs and flows, right?
Yeah.
And
I think it's so cute because they're always too embarrassed to watch.
Right.
And or participate in a scene. And yet when they're not in a scene, that's when they're
jealousy
all in.
Yeah, like, wait a minute, I want to be in the scene. Why can't I
be in
the scene?
They're in the background making noise.
Exactly, exactly. And so you're just going, what? Come on.
But where can they see our Christmas movie?
Go to our Instagram page.
Oh,
I'll have a link up there.
Okay.
Christine, Marie, and Julie on Instagram. And a lot of it's just me and Mom, and I'm going to do better this year to get you and I together.
On the Instagram page?
Yes. Like, a lot of it, you know, like, I'll do something together, but we won't do it together, per se.
Got it.
And I'm going to do better in that. That's my goal this year.
Better together.
Better together.
Got it.
That's my only focus. Better together. Better together. And then I have this overwhelming sensation to want butter. What is that about? Because really, add butter to get butter.
Everything
goes good better with butter.
Well, that and bacon.
That and bacon. Yeah. So that's kind of what I'm at, you know?
Let's not talk about food because I've like had it.
Good. You're done.
I mean, at least for a day or so because I mean, I've had everything I could possibly have.
Right.
We had pasta. We've had Lou Malnati's pizza.
Yep.
You baked a confetti cake at my request for the party. We had, fried chicken.
I mean, it's just scary.
Oh, God.
Just because usually we have a very simple palate.
We've been on a roll.
Yeah, we've been on a roll, a holiday roll. And like we had prime rib on Christmas Day.
Yes.
I went over to Doug's sister's house and she pulled out this $100 prime rib that she roasted for the first time. It was fabulous. Mm-hmm. And gratefully for me, because nobody showed up to her party
lunch. It was
and
like butter.
I said, I will pay for a couple slices of that prime rib. She's like, you don't want to pay
more
me.
More than enough.
I'll give you a couple slices for your parents. I'm like, awesome. And then you said it was fabulous. So it's been a weird, because also Christmas starts like the weekend before with holiday parties, get-togethers.
I know.
And you just kind of roll out. And it was so funny. Last night I saw the Star Wars movie. It was a good movie overall. The problem I have with Star Wars.
Adam Driver.
I like him. I only think of him as friends, so I don't think of him as this powerhouse.
You think of him
as
a friend?
No, girlfriends. What the hell is that show about on HBO with, you know,
Lena Dunham?
Yes, that show.
Really?
What's that show called?
Girls?
I think it's called Girls.
I don't know.
Women. I don't know what it's called either. But he was her love interest.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. I didn't watch that show very often because I felt so detached from how they felt.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was like, you guys are too self-absorbed.
Well, anything by her I can't get into. I don't know why.
And I know that's good.
It's about being too self-absorbed. And the only reason I even know Adam Driver is because I watched the SNL Eddie Murphy special. And it was awesome.
Yes.
It was funny. And I really, really enjoyed it. It was like politically incorrect. And it was like, F you, PC people.
Right.
F you, PC people.
Yeah.
And it was like, you know, it was like awesome. And then they said, stay tuned for the new year. Our new year will be Adam Driver. And I went, is that a comedian?
Who is Adam Driver? I have no idea.
No, mother. He's in Star Wars. I went, well, that's not going to happen. And then you said, he's in that new Netflix movie, A Marriage Story.
And you're like, I saw that.
What?
And like, I go, he's the dad. You're like, oh my God. And then you decided that I did not give you enough information. And when I don't give you enough information, who do you then go to for your reliable source?
Alexa.
Yes. Sometimes you go to her first, which pisses me off, but that's okay.
And she told me that Adam Driver has been in 53 movies.
Like, whoa!
And I said, 53 movies? I said, if they were all like A Marriage Story, I feel sorry for the audiences.
Right.
Because I felt like that was one horrible movie.
Right.
And everybody was like, you must see this because this is exactly what the attorneys do.
Yeah.
And I didn't feel it was that much of a treatise on attorneys.
Oh.
It was like, yeah.
And?
Yeah, that's right.
So?
What the hell?
What's their job? You didn't go to
go to 8 years of school to,
yeah.
to not take you for every single.
And they're fighting for you. Hence the word fighting. They're not saying, hey, me and your, the other attorney, we're going to get together. We're going to chat over some wine. We're going to work out a plan that's best for both of you. Mm-hmm. So it's a win-win. What do you think about that?
Yeah, well, my friend, she used a mediator.
A mediator.
And like 6 years and X amount of dollars later, they settled as well. But
yeah,
it still costs a lot of money.
And 6 years. Yeah. Is that how long it took to mediate?
Yeah, like 6 years it took. That's how long it took to mediate.
And maybe during that time, they go, if they're willing to mediate for 6 years, maybe they're willing to work on their marriage for 6 years.
Yeah, no, she was not willing to do that.
I don't know for sure. I don't even want to say. I know this person a little bit, mm-hmm. and I just think she needed a little more variety in her life. Mm-hmm. Just a tad.
Just a little spice.
Sometimes you just need variety.
Yeah.
That's not me. I feel like I don't have.
I know it's not you.
No, I don't have a lifetime to learn somebody. God, I still have more to learn about this person. There is not enough time in a lifetime to figure you out.
I hope you're talking about me. No,
I am. I'm talking about everybody.
Just kidding.
Everybody in my life. Everybody surprises me once in a while.
So go ahead and talk about Star Wars.
Okay, I'll talk about Star Wars. I'm going to give it 4 out of 5 stars. It was actually quite enjoyable. But Mom, as a
you mean, like 4 out of 5 Star Wars?
Ah, you're so effing funny.
I know. I don't deserve you.
Here's the problem with Star Wars. There is no plot development. There's no beginning and an end. This one has an ending for the most part, kind of. But what happens is they throw you into a chapter.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're doing is you're literally just watching a chapter of a saga. Mm-hmm. So like it's like going into Stephanie Plum's book and going, oh, chapter 13, yeah. You know, like, yeah. And what happens is you'll get a 2-paragraph reading material on the screen of telling you where you're kind of at in the story.
Like, here's the thing too. Like if the Star Wars Odyssey was the Bible, you would just open to the apocalypse.
Yes.
Revelations.
And then before that.
And would you know what the whole Bible was?
And then you would get the Blinkist version beforehand, 2 paragraphs.
Right.
Hey, everyone, there was this man. He was born to a virgin and, you know, and then came out. And then when he was 31, he was like starting to do miracles and we called him Jesus. And then
2 years later,
some people didn't like that too much and they killed him. And then he rose again from the dead. And then we still praise him because he kind of was like a beetle. You know, he kind of promoted love and harmony and love one another. And you couldn't damn for any of that. Like, yeah, man, peace, harmony, love.
I think he was more like John Lennon in that he hung around with the prostitutes.
Yeah, exactly. You know, he was all like, hey, don't throw a stone. Yes, unless you got nothing to be stoned about. And he's like, something, whatever that's about. So that would be the 2 paragraphs that came before. Mm-hmm. And then, boom, Revelations. You're like, what the hell happened here? What? That's exactly what went on. Mm-hmm. And so in Star Wars, Revelations, you got a couple of loops in there and a couple of turns and a couple of people who died that you're like, I can't believe he died and maybe didn't die and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And, sort of like
people that are
swords,
already really dead and they're pixeled in.
Yeah, knives and swords. Swords and knives, that movie? What is that movie called?
Knives Out.
Knives Out. Sort of like Knives Out, but in space and in the future. Here are some of my quirks about this movie and about the Star Wars movie. Quirk one, Carrie Fisher was in it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think she filmed anything.
Mm-hmm.
But in her contract, I heard her interviewed before she died. Mm-hmm. She said, in these new contracts, you have a clause where you get paid for your digital your digital look. Mm-hmm. So 100 years from now, if they do a flashback with Carrie Fisher in this saga, mm-hmm. and they pull out Carrie Fisher, her
estate
will get
$100,000.
I don't know for sure.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
She started. I mean, you know, those are going to make $1 billion every time. That's just appropriate, right? And then lucky for the state. You're like, can we all say lucky? You know, something like that. Two, that's very interesting. Twice, I saw her daughter in the movie, and I loved it because I
like her daughter.
I know she's very charming and very bubbly and sweet, and a good. Even though she came from a very Hollywood family,
who's her dad?
Well, her name's I don't know. Good question.
Oh,
however,
you can ask Alexa.
Alexa, who is Carrie Fisher's daughter? Hello.
Carrie Fisher's daughter is
Billy who?
Repeat, Alexa, repeat.
Billy somebody, we're not sure.
Carrie Fisher's daughter is Billy Lowell.
Lowell?
Lowell. I believe he's in the field as
but
well.
But her first name is Billy?
Yeah.
Oh.
I think. I don't know. That doesn't sound
Sounds like what she's saying. But
okay. I don't know for sure, people. We're not 100% sure. However, I know that she says that she's been in every Star Wars when I heard her interviewed as just a backdrop, you know, and her mom, you know, made them put her in her, and that was sweet. Mm-hmm. And so she's in there. I saw her for sure twice. Just as a quick, she said like two lines. She was a resistance fighter.
That's sweet.
Yeah. And I go, there's a daughter. There's a daughter over there. There it is over there. And I just thought that was so sweet. Now, here's the quirks I don't appreciate. One is, and you, if you have seen one Star Wars, you're going to understand this. And I don't know why this bugs me, but my logic mind is really up in arms about this because I want to know how this happens. One is, they travel to all these planets very quickly, in and out of the solar system. Just quickly travel to, like, oh, it's in the solar system, this, and this planet. And they go there. It's a desolate planet. Desolate planet. And you'll see one woman walking, older woman, and she's walking with a camel. And she'll say, I haven't seen anyone in years. I'm like, who is getting you water? How are you feeding yourself? Who put you here? How long?
What's your backstory?
What is your backstory? And how dare you? How dare you just?
What is your origin story?
Yeah, and how is it that all these plants have you know, habitable atmospheres? You know, I mean, come on, what's going on here? I just we automatically look at these Goldilocks.
So those
planets.
Are your quirks.
That's one quirk. The other quirk is it is a highly technologically advanced society. I mean, we have, you know, spacecrafts that can jump light years away and all this stuff and chasing all this stuff. I don't see where any of this stuff is produced. I don't see factories. I don't see people working. It's like third world country. At the exact same time, it is high tech, the most technologically advanced society ever. And it's
one
just
word.
A movie.
I can sell
tell me.
That.
In sell, tell me.
One word.
Occam's razor. No. Ex machina. Right, tell me.
Six syllables.
Okay.
Underground facilities.
Underground facility. Seven.
Oh, seven syllables.
And it's two words. Or is one underground facility hyphenated?
One. It's two words.
I think it's hyphenated.
Yes. Highly hyphenated
Highly hyphenated word. And hyphenated words count as one word or two?
I'm just kidding. It's two words.
I know,
words.
But can I ask you? I'm really curious now.
Sure.
Are hyphenated words count as one or two?
Yes, one word.
Oh, okay. So I could buy that.
I would think it's one word.
I mean,
I think you could count it as one word.
Why not?
Like, if you were writing a book and you had a hyphenated word, I think they would count it as one word.
One word. Yeah. That's fine. That's good. I like that a lot. So that was my other thing that that gets in my craw. But they had jokes. They had laughter. The robots were funny and charming. And, you know, yada, yada, yada.
Life in the Star Wars.
And it was great. I got free popcorn because it was my birthday month.
Yay.
Loved that. I was able to share with people. And but I have a couple of cute stories. I don't know where you're at today with your stories about the holiday. Tell me one of your tell me one of your better Christmas stories that happened this year. What are you most positive about this holiday season? Go. Go now.
Oh,
If not, I will tell a story.
Oh, thank God.
Because I feel like I'm talking a lot. Thank God. And I don't want to. So anyway.
Well, you could ask me a different question. I might, you know, a positive holiday story.
Well, because here's the other question I want to ask you is about how you threw out this thing to me yesterday. And that kind of, oh no, 2 days ago. And that kind of left our Friday in a morning funk. Because you said, I just got Tim Ferriss's 5 Bullet Friday. And he says he doesn't do New Year's resolutions.
Oh, yes. Jeez.
I go, but he does a year in review.
He does a past year review.
A past year review.
A PYR.
And I'm thinking, and you know.
And I threw that out to you in that morning, and we got all effed up.
And we did it. We put positives and negatives.
Yeah.
And then I said
more
to you.
More negatives than positives.
Tell me what the end game for this is.
Right.
Are we going to burn it?
Yeah.
In a ceremony? It was sage? is that the, am I going to make origami out of it? And then saying, this is now in the past.
No, we're supposed to look at the negatives.
Yes.
And see, do we want to resurrect any and keep trying?
Yes.
Or do we just want to let those damn things go?
Okay. That's exactly right. He also says that with the positives.
Can we make more of them?
Plug them into your calendar.
Right.
More things like that.
Right.
And the negatives, take them out of your calendar.
See, the thing is, we have calendars, but they don't mean anything.
No, because we
have. Because we're in trucking.
Yeah. And the negatives that I have, they're just life. I'm not like the way our job changed this year, where we used to be only 30 minutes away from our starting point.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're 2.5 hours away from our starting
point. Right.
That's a drag.
That's a huge drag.
That's a drag.
That's a big drag.
And guess what? We try to solve that issue by looking elsewhere. And then when you realize that your drag is the best that's out there,
mm-hmm.
you're like, what?
Yeah.
Make it the best you can,
yeah.
right? Okay, so that was, screw you, Tim Ferriss. It doesn't work for me exactly.
Right.
But two things I will say.
Well, now he's a venture capitalist or
whatever. He's past that. He's reaping the benefits.
He's no longer a venture capitalist.
Yes, which means he doesn't want anybody asking him for his money.
Yeah.
No more emails about investing. I don't do it anymore, people.
Isn't that nice?
Yes, I love it.
That's kind of like Oprah.
Yeah.
I've got all these billions of dollars, but I don't give that away easily.
Yes, I don't do that.
Because that would be harming you.
Yes.
I'd be preventing you from challenging yourself and
making
something of yourself.
Exactly. So then the other thing he said, mm-hmm. So I took this way. Mm-hmm. I had two trips this year that I really kind of liked. I really liked them. And they had, I went to Montreal, which was a lovely trip. I went to Vegas this year. Both lovely. And I'm trying to think like the points that I liked about them. Because
mm-hmm.
I also did, I went to a show in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's funny. This show in Chicago, maybe because it's just happened or mm-hmm. within the last month,
mm-hmm.
has held more positive energy for me mm-hmm. than the two trips.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be with the two trips, because we're in business for ourselves,
right.
I have to negotiate so much shit.
I know.
I mean, we have to negotiate loads and not take loads. So it's not like we have a vacation.
No.
I have to lose money, lose mm-hmm. work.
Spend money.
Everybody around me is affected.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a bigger consequence to the mobile of our family life, right?
Right.
And so, yes, I enjoyed that. I enjoyed Vegas. May do it again. I don't know. But I really enjoyed my seeing Elton John tribute mm-hmm. show in Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It was less of a hassle. Even though there were things that went wrong because they didn't like mess up the whole day.
Right.
I just like went with the flow.
Right.
And because I didn't over plan anything, like I initially had this huge day planned
for
me.
Great? Yeah.
I was going to go in early and do this and that and that all. And then
Doug said no.
Well, I called up Doug and I said, hey, can you pick me up at 9 o'clock?
Why so early?
And I go,
10?
And I said, you know what? Let's just go out to lunch.
It turned into 2:30, I think.
I think we actually left the house at noon or 12:30.
Yeah, 12:30.
Got there at 2:30, had dinner at 3, got to our show, which is right across the street at 5.
Yeah.
And I, honestly,
you were home by 10.
I was home by 10.
Yeah.
And it was a perfect day.
Yeah.
Had, you know, it was kind of funny because we had issues everywhere, like the parking lot in Chicago is so, you know, all the spaces are very small, and half of them are taken for residents and all that stuff. But we found a parking spot, and we got it done. But like I said, it was just pretty, uplifting, not a lot of drama. There was some drama, you know, like we drove through all of Chicago, meaning like we started at the south side and drove north. Typically, you don't do that. You kind of like head north on the outskirts of Chicago, taking the highway, and then come in that way.
But you chose to do it this way?
We asked, you know, sometimes when you ask your app the fastest way, it takes you on trips. You're like, what? You see quite interesting little communities and, you know, homes that you're going, okay, they've put $1 million in this house.
Things you'd like to see. With the app is assuming that you want to see those.
The app is assuming like, hey, you know, I know you want to save a minute. Here's your fastest way. Watch out for children playing on bikes. You know?
Right.
Know, like, what?
So what you found was that you wanted to, what part of the PYR is that the past year review is that you take the things that you liked and then you calendar in more of the same.
Yes.
So that you make sure that you increase your joy in your next year.
So I
eliminate some of the dead things that that you keep failing at in some sense and are just like what I call dross.
And I think I would put in my dross I'm going to put character traits, if that's possible, procrastination and sadness. Those are two. I don't have a lot. I would not consider me a sad person.
No.
But I do. And also, I have a busy life. We get stuff done. Mm-hmm. But there are always these things that I would love to get done that I procrastinate about. Mm-hmm. And those, for the course of the year, build up anxiety, sadness, and I start not liking myself about them. Mm-hmm. I had to put those away, either not do it, which that's not an option. I want to do them. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. I want to do them. And then choose to do them.
Right.
Choose to do them. And
in the midst of all this, as we're talking, we are also taking Sam Harris's meditation course. And, well, we're doing the meditation, but taking his... he calls them little lessons. They're theories. And it's fascinating because we are, Julie and I and Norm, we consider ourselves part of the faithful.
Yes.
We believe in a higher power. Mm-hmm. We believe in God. We come from a Judeo-Christian lineage, Catholicism. Mm-hmm. And we've explored all of that. We've taken years to read the Bible over and over again, you know. So now we have come to Sam Harris, who's an outright atheist.
Yes,
makes no bones about it. Doesn't hate God. Just considers himself a logical
atheist. Yes,
atheist. Mm-hmm. And so we've been listening to his theories, his lessons, and of course a lot of his podcasts are with other atheists.
Yes.
And for whatever reason we have now that we have atheists in the family.
Yes.
Who we're now talking to about atheism.
Yes.
Atheism. Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Because it's on our minds. Yes. You know. And so this is an interesting dichotomy for us to be exploring this universe. So this year we're saying that we're not giving up miracles.
Right.
But we are maybe looking at them in a different way and also magic. In a different way.
Well, and if you tied magic and miracles to logic,
correct,
that maybe the only reason why miracles take place is because our brain did not catch all the logical things that had to happen.
Correct.
And also, like, I think it's called the reticula, I think it's the RI, I think it's RA or RI in your brain. Mm-hmm. It's sort of like when you want a red car, when you bought a red car, now all you see are red cars.
Right.
You know, we have a Venetian red minivan.
Right.
You love this color van.
I love this color.
Didn't know it was around until we got one. And now I literally think somebody else in our subdivision
has one.
Yeah. I'm like, where did that come from?
Yeah.
Because there are times I'm waving to you. I'm like, oh, that's not you.
That's, well, that's right. When we get our coffee at McDonald's,
yeah,
the girl always goes, oh, I thought it was my mom.
I'm like,
yes, hello. Her mom has this color car.
I thought my mom was checking in on me. Yes. And so.
But you didn't give us a free coffee,
no,
did you?
No, it's fine. So that part of your brain, like if you're looking for things to be grateful about. Mm-hmm. Your brain sets out an intention for the day and mm-hmm. it starts looking for things to be grateful
right,
about.
Right.
Is that magical or is that logical?
Right. They've been watching this series on Netflix called Brain Games. And it says they always bring out these professors from Harvard or wherever. Mm-hmm. And this one professor said that something like 98.9% of everything can be logically understood.
Yes.
And I thought, that's a huge number.
Right.
And so, like, if there are things that I don't understand and I think I need magic for it or miracles
right.
for it, I may just not be understanding all the logical steps to get there.
Well, and
I see what I'm saying.
100%.
And that doesn't necessarily mean that I don't believe in a higher power
no.
or God.
Well, when you, I get your saying, because so many times it's magical to us because we don't see the background information.
Right.
You know, we talk about our Wayne Dyer, God rest his soul, God
yes.
bless him.
Yes.
He tells a story about how he was running late for this interview and kind of getting a little upset and he, you know, driving and traffic. A lot of things
yeah.
were going on to
yeah.
make him late.
Yeah.
And he walks in and ends up in an elevator with a man he knew previously.
From years ago.
And who, I hope I'm telling the story right, but you'll get the gifs, who was opening up a restaurant. And which was pretty awesome to him because he needed a chef and his daughter was looking for a job at that time. And he was able to get his daughter a job in this restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Am I saying this correctly?
I think he was looking to put someone on a food channel.
Yes.
TV.
Okay. Of course. Yeah. Excuse me. Like a restaurant. Or the guy owned a McDonald's.
But because,
looking for
because
a job.
Of all this lateness and
yes.
everything, he ended up on the same elevator with this guy and got his daughter this awesome
yes.
job. I don't know if she still has it or whatever.
Right. We don't know. And so you go, is that magical?
Yeah.
Or is that logical? Because like, hey, well, or is that just luck?
Well, Sam Harris would call that just luck.
Just luck.
He said there's lots of good luck abounding and there's lots of dumb luck abounding.
And lots of bad
luck.
And lots
of shitty luck.
Yeah. yeah. And he says it's really how you determine mm-hmm. how you use that luck, good or bad,
yeah.
to your favor or whatever.
And
he also talks about no free will.
And he also says, too, that we are, if anything, the stories that we tell ourselves.
Yes.
Unless that's Jordan talking right
no,
now.
No, but they have Jordan.
Jordan and Sam interweave.
And then you talk
nicely.
About, you throw in there Abraham Hicks, where it really is what the story you tell yourself,
yes.
the thoughts you think and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're really kind of playing in some fun territory. And you could say it's magical
mm-hmm.
because even logical can be magical. I think alchemy is magical.
It is.
But to a chemist, you go, hey, you put this together and this together and you get this. Like, what? What? That's magical. No, it's not. It literally is. The atoms, the hydrogen atoms, you know, move from this and put it over here. Like, what in the world? That's incredible. That's amazing. You know, like, who created this world?
They had this on Brain Games. I can't think of what this thing is called. I think it's called a Rube Goldfarb or something, but
a what?
A Rube Goldberg. Rube Goldberg. I think it's, I'm not really sure, but it's like you take a variety, say 25 different things, just
yeah.
anything. And then you give this person, you say you have to create a machine that says, let's say, I want to ultimately start out with this cheese and trap this like fake mouse.
Okay.
And you've got to use all 25 of those things. You've probably seen these, like you drop something and then
yeah.
the dominoes
yeah.
go and then
uh-huh.
they hit a thing
yes.
and then the ball falls down. And so they gave...
Or you put a diamond, you put a ball here and at the end, your cup is filled with coffee.
Yeah.
yeah.
But after all of these,
yeah.
these things. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so... they gave scientists 25 different things to do with this. And then they gave four guys who had been friends for like 20 years and had like shortcut language to do it.
Uh-huh.
And they gave them each like 2 hours, you know. And everybody thought, oh, man, you know, the guys scientists. That know each other are going to do real. But, yeah, the scientists figured something out.
Okay.
They figured something out to do it.
Right.
And the other guys didn't even get, like, 2 steps.
Oh, wow.
You know. And then the actual guy that designs these kind of things came and did one and took, like, took a whole gym, like, the size of a gym to lay this out.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, you know. So, so I mean, I don't even know why I was saying, oh, because it to some people that could be magic.
Right.
You know, like you invented this machine that pours a cup of coffee for you. You know,
exactly.
In ways that you wouldn't even think about. But that's kind of magic.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, or whatever. You know, we just don't think of it in those terms.
Right.
You know.
And what do you think? I think sometimes magic, we think of magic as creating something from nothing. Right?
Right.
Manifesting without a lot of work.
Right.
When you add work involved, you're like, well, that's kind of like an
action.
Or action. That's kind of like on the logical side.
Right.
But what you realize is that no matter what you do, there is luck, magic, manifesting involved in it while you're working kind of hard.
Yes, exactly.
Right. But okay, so let's take it.
So true, because you can see we've heard stories about people just working their asses off and somebody being at the right place at the right time.
Right.
And you know, it's like, why is that guy there and not this guy?
Right.
You know.
And you know, why did your next door neighbor? Right. Why did your next door neighbor? Why did you know? How come his 401k you know yielded 3 times the interest rate as you did over the last 30 years?
Yeah.
You guys both invested the exact same amount, but somehow his hit the lottery. Mm-hmm. You know, and now he has $2 million more dollars than you.
Yeah.
You know what is that about?
Just because all my money was in Enron, Julie. Stop it.
I know. What's wrong with you, Mama? You thought it was. They told me to invest. I thought it was going to be worth millions. It's like they're a good company. I'm like, I know. It's crazy. It's all crazy. But so, you know, it's very fascinating to me how this stuff all works out.
So we may be talking more about our leap into atheism. Am I saying it the right way?
Yeah, you are, but atheism? I don't know if we're jumping into atheism.
Oh, well.
Atheism.
I kind of thought I am.
Are you really?
I mean, I'm exploring it for sure.
You're exploring it to give up your belief in God? Or
no.
Are you exploring it to deepen your relationship with God? Or are you just exploring it?
I'm just exploring it.
Right. I think that's interesting because if you're thinking that exploring atheism is like...
We should know how to say it first.
First, yes, please. Is like exploring logic.
Mm-hmm.
I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of fun.
Yeah.
Because, you know... We were in that meeting that we had about past year review.
Uh-huh.
You had asked me 3 questions. You just mm-hmm. threw them out and I wrote them down. You were surprised I wrote them down.
Right.
You said, well, I'm curious about this, where I'm at right now. Where am I at on the spectrum of God? Where am I at in the spectrum of faith? And where am I at in the spectrum of miracles? And
I had magic in there as well.
Yeah.
I might have.
And so it was funny because like, In 2018, we were kind of all about faith.
We were.
And we were filling our life with faithful stuff.
Yes.
And somewhere down the line, in 2019, we stopped doing those things.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. And life got harder. But life got harder.
No, life got harder.
Yes. And then we stopped doing it. Yes. I'm like, well, this just doesn't make it.
Because life got harder. I said today, I go, we may have had a lower cooking point than other people. In other words, life got harder, you know, like intrinsically harder for us.
Yes.
And it made us question.
Right.
Some people, life can just get harder and they're like, oh, I'm not going to question this.
Right.
Just dig in even further.
Right.
You know? And I just, life got harder and I started questioning more.
Right. You start questioning faith and this and that.
Right.
And like, what's the point?
Well, that's
the whole point.
That's exactly. It's like, it's a question of meaning now.
Right. It's a question of meaning.
Yeah.
For sure.
And there is, unfortunately, because having been programmed for decades for with meaning,
yes,
you know, spiritual, you know, God infused meaning,
mm-hmm.
and then thinking about the only meaning that you give your life is the meaning that you give your life,
right?
Then that's a different animal,
right?
And somehow at this point it feels a little lonely.
Mm-hmm.
You feel a little more vulnerable, but you do have a tendency to say, well, ain't nobody going to do it but me.
Right, right.
Not, you know, there's not going to be a thunderclap and, you know.
Well, because, like, what happens if you were such a faithful person your whole life, except for the last day some things came up that questioned your faith, and then you died? I'm hoping that the God I believed in for most of my life would have taken my life as a whole.
Well, that's because you believe in God.
Because I believe in God. Right. Right. And whether God exists or not, it doesn't really matter to me. Like, I don't believe in God for the end times, like in the afterlife.
Right.
I don't believe in him for that.
Right. I mean, a lot of people do, though.
Yes. They believe in the, you know.
Norm does.
Yes.
I mean, that's his primary motive.
Right.
I've asked him that.
Right. And maybe that's because I've heard so many everybody else's opinions on what happens after the mm-hmm. after that.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm like, well, I have no idea what's going to happen. I'm curious.
Mm-hmm.
And if nothing happens and lights go out and I have no consciousness, nothing,
mm-hmm.
I won't care anyway.
Right.
Yeah, I'm hoping.
Pascal's wager was
yes.
It's good to believe in God, because if I die and there's nothing, I've lost nothing. But
right.
if I die and there's heaven and it depended on me believing in it,
right?
You know, then that was good. That was
yeah.
That was in old days.
Yes,
that was in the old days. That sort of theory worked,
and that's I think it still works.
Sort of, yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think that, or the, and the, whatever theory brings you to a healthier you, a healthier family, that leads to a healthier community, and a healthier country, and a healthier world, is a good philosophy. And,
yes.
You know, taking that philosophy to the end state and tweaking it as you go, well, does this still make this world a better place?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it painful?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Here's an example of logic versus like miracle thinking in some mm-hmm. sense, or mm-hmm. like how the hell did that happen? You know, like in Salem witch trials, right? They take a woman who they say, you know, most likely might have smiled at your husband, and like you're a witch, and they throw you in water, mm-hmm. right? And mm-hmm. if you sink.
I think they put a stone around you.
They put a stone around you.
Yeah.
If you don't survive it.
Yeah. You weren't a witch. Yeah.
Sorry.
But
if you did survive, mm-hmm. you're going to be stoned to death, or you're a witch, and you will put to, you know, whatever.
And you're, either way, your tombstone will say either died a witch or died.
Trying.
Not a witch.
Right. And so you're dying. And so now, though, there's theories that suggest that maybe they were all on some major acid trip, like something. Like
right.
There's some kind of fungus.
There was
growing
a fungus
up.
in the bread of that day.
Yes.
Or the wheat.
That made them all just a little bit effing funky, and there was no
right.
clear-headed
Almost,
person.
It was like a hallucinogenic.
And if there was just one keto person in that group, they would have all, somebody would have gone,
if somebody
this
would
is
have,
nuts.
If somebody would have been gluten-free.
Yes.
They would have seen the.
They're like, well, you guys are crazy. How about let's get off this bread for a while? You know? No. So, I mean, so then you go, well, that sounds a little more logical than just people thinking of that test. That just mm-hmm. seems crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody buying in on it, you know,
mm-hmm.
or it's sort of like, we can buy in on it because it's not me dying right now or whatever mm-hmm. and so forth. So
mm-hmm.
we get down these paths and these rabbit holes go so deep.
Mm-hmm.
But you had talked about also, you said the brain games you've been listening to.
Mm-hmm.
Sam Harris, mm-hmm. Jordan Pearson, of course. Mm-hmm. And then we also have in the mix of this show called on Netflix called Darren Brown. Mm. Darren Brown Sacrifice. He's
and
had
the Push.
Push and Darren Sacrifice. Brown. He's done a show. He's a magician, illusionist. He's more a hypnotist. Not like he's more of a programmer. Mm-hmm. To say the least. Mm-hmm. He's a programmer. Programmer of your mind. And he'll take the time to program an unsuspected, willing participant. A mark. Thank you, for lack of a better word. That's great. A mark. And he will do this elaborate thing. And I'm like, what in the world? But when you watch it on Netflix, I'm going to mm-hmm. recommend watching it. Mm-hmm. Especially the sacrifice one. Because if you...
Darren Brown's The Sacrifice.
He first picks out of 100 people.
It's only 40 minutes long.
Yeah. I'm going to talk about it in depth right now in 1 or 2 minutes. So mm-hmm. it's still worth seeing. Mm-hmm. Because what he does is he's in England. He picks a man that lives in Florida. He's 33 with wife and kids. Caucasian. Very, very, you know, like... good old boy kind of thing.
MAGA.
You know, and you know, he takes a test. They take all these written tests and he gets moved along. And they're testing for biases. They're testing for susceptibility and, you know.
Compliance.
So he's testing for all these things. Mm-hmm. And what he wants to do is he wants to see if he can turn a guy into a hero and to take a bullet for a stranger. To literally step in front of a bullet from a stranger.
He's taking a man with huge bias.
Yes.
Against an immigrant.
Yes.
Mexican.
Yes.
And can he program to take a bullet for him?
Yes.
That's it in a nutshell.
Good job. Thank you for taking mm-hmm. my thing and so forth. Mm-hmm. And
a year later.
You know, basically a year later, he sets up this scenario where the mark... the American doesn't know what's going on. Everybody else is in on it. And he is forced. He's not forced. He's in a car and he's seeing this, his newfound tribe in some sense.
Just see it.
Yeah, just see it.
We had a power outage.
Power surge. Yeah. So anyway, see it, because here's what I thought. He was, during this time, Darren Brown is saying, you know, he gives him an app on his phone. Now, the app is also recording him, the mark, recording him doing the app. So he knows how many, every day he's doing this app.
Yeah, which is like a meditation.
Meditation. And what he's doing is he's programming Mark to be more courageous, more compassionate, have more empathy. And he's also attaching these things with sounds. Mm-hmm. Beep-a-doop, beep-a-doop, something like that. Mm-hmm. Some kind of funny sound. Mm-hmm. So that when he hears this sound, and then also connecting it with tapping your head 3 times. Mm-hmm. So when he taps his head 3 times, he can feel more confident, mm-hmm. more boisterous, and more fearless. Mm-hmm. Also, reinforce that with some tones. Mm-hmm. And then... working on this every day for a year. Mm-hmm. Every day for a year. Mm-hmm. And I'm going, holy mother of God, it does take that.
And we think it's so easy to change a habit.
And you're like, no, it doesn't.
Yeah.
It doesn't.
So you see how difficult it is to reprogram your brain. But you also see that it is possible.
100%.
And, you know, you just, you know, because, you know, you and I, Julie, years ago, we used to lead classes in our meditations. We would do tapping.
Yeah, we do. We would.
And they, you know, because we had delved into the research.
Yeah.
And they were saying, in some sense, we don't really know why.
In some sense, it's magical at the moment. It's magical.
But it does seem to work.
Yes.
You know, maybe we should reinstate that.
I would love to.
You know?
Well, do you think the placebo effect, we know it works. We know it really works. Is placebo magical, or is there logic behind it?
Yeah, I would say
it's both, right?
Research, it's science now. And see, this is where alchemy comes in.
Yeah.
Because, you know, years ago, years and years before we had a thing called science, we still had a thing called the placebo effect.
Yes.
And we thought it was magic.
Right.
But, and see, this is where alchemy is sort of fits right in the middle. Alchemy is sort of the bridge between magic,
yes,
and science.
Yes.
And that turning that lead into gold or whatever you want to turn it to into and lead it more into the science realm.
Yes.
That's alchemy.
And this is fascinating to me.
Yeah.
And I think this is going to be an interesting year because we're diving deep into this.
Yeah.
You know, Sam Harris, several times I've heard him say now how we have no free will.
Right.
And he goes, some people get really in his tone of voice, which never changes.
Yeah.
And so if
and
you
it's
want,
interesting because the basis of Christianity is that every man has free will.
Right.
God doesn't force us to do anything.
Right.
To accept him.
You know. Except God knows everything that you're going to do.
Yeah.
So then, therefore, is there really free will?
Yeah, kind of like Santa Claus.
I don't know.
Yeah. No, but see, that's where we're going to be looking into.
Yeah, exactly.
Sam does say there is no such thing as free will.
And he goes, once you get this, it could be very liberating, mm-hmm, and very freeing. And he says, what you do, and this is the part I understand about his version of free will. Mm-hmm. He says, once you understand, you lose all animosity towards your enemy because you realize they, mm-hmm, don't have free will. Mm-hmm. And they have been.
And really, once you start that, and compassion is like the beginning of things.
Yes.
For the other. When you start feeling, yeah, that compassion, that's like the beginning of
changing things.
Yeah.
Of maybe creating, right, your own quote unquote free will. I don't know.
No,
or just doing the things that sets you up for better non-free will.
You know, a man that I adored died this week, Ram Dass.
Mm-hmm.
I just loved reading his books and stuff. And I can't, there's a quote that he says, like, if you want
power, you will never be able to grasp it until you let it go.
Yes.
And something like that.
Then there's another part too.
Whatever, but the beginning card is whatever you want,
yeah,
whatever you desire to search for, go after,
right,
it cannot be attained unless you let it go.
Right. You cannot attain it grasping it.
Right.
Something like that.
I guess it's like grasping at straws, I guess. I will look up a quick, if you would like me to.
Ram Dass quote?
Yeah. I don't know. What do you think about that?
Sure. Okay. That'd be awesome because he was 88, died in Hawaii. And I remember when I was first starting out just exploring the meaning of life and everything, Ram Dass was there and his,
yeah,
books were there.
Well, let me say a couple quotes. I love this. Your problem is you are too busy holding on to your unworthiness. Darren Brown really pushes that home. He goes, I just want everybody to realize,
yeah,
that if they could just, they are more powerful than they can ever imagine.
Yeah.
If you took the time to reprogram your brain.
Sometimes it is time to reprogram your brain.
Yeah.
Brain.
It is important to expect nothing, to take every experience, including the negative ones, as merely steps on the path and to proceed. And I think that's what that meditation does.
Yes.
It takes every situation as a neutral.
Yeah.
It just is what it is.
And just proceed.
Proceed. If you think you're free.
You're not.
There's no escape possible.
Ah. Wait. If you think you're free,
there's no escape possible.
Or there may be no escape necessary.
I like that better.
Huh.
How about this? I like this one. We are all just walking each other home.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
Oh, sweet.
The quieter you become, the more you can hear. Well,
that's true.
We're fascinated by the words, but where we meet is in the silence behind them.
Oh.
And then I would like to be a statement of love and compassion. And where it isn't, that's where my work lies.
That's
there you
so
go.
Sweet.
Mm-hmm.
I was
good.
Trying to tell Norm, too. We were talking about space, you know, after we were meditating. And I was thinking of Deepak and how,
yeah,
he said, where we meet is in the space between the notes.
Yes.
And the only thing that makes anything music different is the space between the notes.
Yes. Aw. Yeah.
You know.
Sweet. Mm-hmm. And you didn't have Ram Dass tell you that.
No, I didn't.
You thought of those all yourself. You know, that's your, I mean, you, I wish you could really, truly grasp how I think you're just a genius.
Oh, geez, thanks, Jess. Well, maybe we'll get that, we'll get the Padre Pio book written.
We will.
These next few months.
So can I, we've got about 5-6 minutes left. Sure. Can I tell a quick holiday story? Go. This kind of represents Doug and our relationship to a T. And it's funny, I did a past year review of him and I, mm-hmm. and it was like 3 or 4 words like, it was good enough and it'll be good enough. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I have no expectations and it was good enough. Boom, done, next. So I'm at a sister's house for Christmas Day. We had our family thing on Christmas Eve, big household. It was fun, you know, yada, yada, yada. But Christmas Day was quieter. And I went over to his sister's house where they had very small get together. It was his sister, Bob, his brother, Doug, and me having prime rib that his sister made for the first time, and it was fabulous. And then we had a nice time there, and we decided to go for a ride. Next, we're going to go into my van and deliver this massage chair that I wanted to give him, which happened to have given it to me by his other brother and so forth. And we're just like passing it around right now. Because initially you think it's a great idea to have this big, huge massage chair in your house. And then
it's all electrical.
Yeah, and it works really well. And then after a while, you're like, oh, just one more thing I got to do. And, you know, okay, so, and then you're just like, your dog is just hanging out in it, you know, so forth. So anyway, I get in the van and I can't, and I'm trying to unlock his door. His door is locked.
Because you're driving.
I'm driving.
Yeah.
And I have the keys in my hand, so I decided to push the unlock button, which I don't ever do. It's not muscle memory. I usually put the keys right in the ignition. So I unlock the door. And then from that moment on, I have misplaced my car keys in this car. I have no idea where they're at. Mm-hmm. So Doug's sitting in the car. He's like, what's wrong? I go, I don't know where the keys are at. He goes, well, you just had them. I go, I know I just had them. And at this point, he's helping me for about 2 minutes. And then he starts breaking bad, saying, well, we've got to get into my car and drive home and get your second pair of keys. I go, we're not doing that. I go, unless something magical has occurred and these keys popped into a different dimension.
Yeah.
They're going to pop back in because I do believe that could happen. I go, we're going to find the keys. They just didn't magically appear or disappear. You know, they're here. For whatever reason, they have slipped out of my hands and I can't find them. So 5 minutes pass and he is now taking shit out of my car.
He's getting upset and angry.
And I said, if you need to go back inside, go for it. He goes, no, I'm fine. I go, here's a dealio. I just can't handle you being pissy right now. I just need you to either
go inside
and I'll find my keys. He goes, well, no, if we have to, we'll go to your mom and dad's house. I'm like, that is a 20-minute ride one way and 20-minute ride back. And that is not the best logical solution. They're in the car. We will find them. And so
he's taken everything out of this. And then, this is the work van. So
yes,
this is dad's.
There's stuff in it.
There's lots of work stuff in it.
And so then I find the keys. And then I said, and he gets back in. Thank God. I go, you have pushed shit out of my van and out onto the grass. Put all that shit back in my van. And he goes, okay, no problem. And he goes, of course. I go, did you get everything? He goes, yeah, I got everything. I'm like, okay, you got everything. Everything you took out of my van, you put in my van. He goes, yeah. I'm like, great. So we take off and we back out of the drive and we're going for a little ride and seeing some family members' homes and just kind of taking a nice leisurely trip to Walgreens. It's open on Christmas Day and boy, was it packed.
Yeah.
I bet they make all their money on Christmas Day.
I bet.
They are the only ones
only
open.
Only game in town.
Yes. Right? And so I make a right onto the main road after driving on some smaller side streets. And I say to Doug, did I pull out in front of a guy? Because I have very little back visibility because of this chair in the back.
Right.
And he goes, well, no, you would know. I go, there is a guy. I have not really. My visibility is bad. And I go, I have this guy literally on my ass. On my butt right now, I go, and he's driving really aggressively. Now, Walgreens is literally a block and a half away. Mm-hmm. So I speed up a little bit. Mm-hmm. I accelerate, mm-hmm. and I make a left.
And this guy follows you.
And then he turns a corner and pulls in the other direction. into Walgreens, and he's heading for me. And I'm like, oh, my God. Now, I know how to defuse a situation, which is mea culpa. I'm so sorry. So I roll down my car.
He parks right next to you.
Parks right next to me. He's rolling down his window, and I said, oh, sir, I'm so sorry. Did I happen to pull out in front of you? I apologize. He goes, no. You had two shoes on your roof, and you lost them on the highway, or you lost them on the road back there. And I was like, oh, Doug, did you put my two extra shoes on the roof? Why would you do that? I never put anything on the roof.
Your work shoes.
He puts shit on the roof all the time.
Yeah.
And he does it all the time. I'm like, at some point you say, never again will I put anything on the roof.
No learning curve.
No learning curve. And so I go, thank you, sir. And the guy's, no problem. And I look, and at this moment, I think I have many thoughts, because now it's the story you tell yourself.
Yeah.
One part of the story is this. My fucking mom and my boyfriend are in cahoots again. Not consciously, mm-hmm. but subconsciously. Mm-hmm. Because my mom said, and put the words, those powerful words out into the universe, Julie, not literally 12 hours earlier, mm-hmm. Julie, I think those shoes are about done. You need to get rid of them.
Mm-hmm.
I have a tendency to wear shoes, if they're comfortable, longer than necessary.
Way past their prime.
Yes. Yeah. They looked a little bit, they looked nice, I thought, but they looked a little like could have used a polish for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, get mm-hmm. rid of them. I'm like, okay. And so I tell Doug, I go, they're on a main drag. It's busy. Honestly, I don't feel like getting hurt today for getting these shoes when my mom literally said 12 hours earlier, let's throw those shoes away.
Mm-hmm.
I'm almost thinking that you and her once again are working behind the scenes to make my life, quote unquote, better.
To get you to get wear me. Better shoes.
Yes, exactly. He's like, oh, you're just joking with me. I go, why would I lie to you about this? Why would I make up this part of the story?
At this moment in time.
Yeah, interject my mother's opinion on this. Yeah. I wouldn't do it. Okay, so now he's got something in his mind that he must do. Let's get these shoes. And I'm like, I'm not moving fast enough for him.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what are you doing? What's going on? Why are you pushing me so much to get these shoes? He goes, let's go get it right now. Somebody might take him. I'm like, nobody's going to take two shoes at 4:30 on Christmas Day.
Mm-hmm.
They're right there. So I go, calm down. We'll get there. So I would get in the car. And then I pull out and I go a block north of the shoes and I turn around and gratefully there's a cemetery right an entrance to the cemetery in town right there.
Mm-hmm.
So I park into the cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
And then I get my trusty phone out to then videotape him, because I'm like, start making this fun for you, Julie, because at this moment the story you're telling yourself is on the sad, depressing side.
Yeah.
How can we make this into, oh, those two kids. Oh, I can't believe
this is going to be a great story for the podcast.
This is a great story for the podcast. I can't believe Douglas. Oh, Doug.
Oh, Doug.
Oh, Doug.
There you go again, Doug.
Doug, you put my shoes on the roof. Ah, you know. And so, I get my camera, I videotape it, and he's doing a little Frogger thing, like do, missing a car, boop boop boop, jumping on an alligator, boop boop boop, missing a log. Do you know what Frogger is? Okay, and he gets my shoes. Brings them back. And he goes, I got your shoes. Ah, awesome. Now, I could use this moment, and I videotaped it. And I go, Doug is out in the highway on Christmas Day getting my shoes.
Mm-hmm.
I go,
is that an Instagram photo?
Yes. And I could have said this. I could have used this as a teachable moment where I was going to say, you know, Doug, maybe it's time we no longer put shit on the roofs of cars.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought to myself, you know what? Not necessary. Making this a teachable moment, first of all, would have fallen flat.
Mm-hmm.
Second of all, it's happened so many times to him.
Mm-hmm.
The guy, I mean,
if he was interested in doing it, I always like it though, because he has teachable moments for us.
Yeah.
Like, I've seen, you know, you like Jack falling down.
Yeah.
And you go, oh, Jack, come here. And you go, and he'll go to you. Don't let him do that again.
Yeah.
Like, you were, you know.
I didn't catch him before he fell.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude.
Don't do that again, Julie.
Don't do that again. Or like, I will have fallen. And he goes, or like tripped on something. He goes, don't do that again. I'm like, I'm going to walk again and I'm going to trip again. Chill the fuck out. I go, dude. So that was my funny holiday story. So you see, it really is the meaning you put behind it.
It is really is the
I
meaning.
I could say that I'm dating a guy that sabotages me every place I go.
That's true.
But instead, I'm dating a guy that gives me such fun stories.
I like the part where you guys go out to dinner with another couple last night. And before you get into the car with the other couple, he says, oh, by the way, we're sharing a meal.
Yes, and no appetizers.
And no appetizers, which means he does not want to pay for two meals.
I believe that's the whole reason why.
Of course
he says it's because we need to start. He personally needs to lose weight and so forth. And so there's nothing worse than being.
You're sitting there with the other couple's having appetizers.
Yes.
They're both having drinks. Nice meals and drinks, and you're splitting a chicken.
Yes. Now, in only my defense is this. I'll say one thing.
Sure.
I am the slowest eater when I go out.
Yeah.
And I still was the last person eating.
Boom.
Mic drop.
Take that.
And on the way home, I got myself a burger because I was still hungry.
I
wasn't satisfied.
Yeah, he was going to make you pay one way or the other.
Exactly. And that's our relationship. Yeah. He'll make me pay
one way or another.
So, girlfriend, how was the show?
Hey, girlfriend, you know what? Next time I see you on the podcast, it'll be
2020.
Next year.
2020, bitches.
So see you next year.
And it was
great.
It was great.
It was a great year. It was great. It was great.